Hey, this is Pastor Hicks Podcast, brought to you by Pastor Hicks. We're doing something a little bit different today. We're going to get back to me talking. Some podcast episodes will have us giving the sermon, but others will have just me talking about what we preached about or just talking about different topics. So those who have been listening, thank you. Those who haven't, and this is your first time, thank you. Those who have been listening, our valued listeners, please share, please repost, let folks know that we're back in a different way. But this week we dealt with, again, sermon series Overflow, and we dealt with the topic of doing better. And our text was Acts 20 verses 35, and it says this: "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." So we're in a season where we're talking about overflow. We're talking about giving. And in the act of giving, in the act of wanting to receive the overflow of God in our lives and our finances and our relationships, in our mindsets, we understand that there's places where we can do better. There's definitive places where we can give more effort, where we can give more attention. And this text, the entirety of Acts 20 speaks to that. So when I talked on Sunday and when I'm talking today, the first thing I want to bring out is, in order for us to do better, in order for us to get to that next level, in order for us to press ourselves, doing better starts with the testimony. So in Paul's letter of Paul's, or in the Bible book of Acts, Acts 20, if you want to read this for yourself, Acts 20 to 17 to 14, what Paul does is he gives a testimony of what God allowed him to do. He gives a testimony of his life. He gives a testimony of God's goodness. And then Paul's life is a testimony. Paul's life goes from persecuting Christians to being a blessing in preaching. Paul's life goes from being a citizen of Rome and his focus being that, to being a citizen of the world and telling the world about who Jesus is. Paul's life goes about being centrally focused to being focused on churches being planted and churches growing. And what I got from that, and what I shared with Resurgence on Sunday, what I'm sharing with you today, is doing better, or our overflow happens in the doing better part of a testimony of God's goodness in our life. Now, I know those of us listening who grew up in church, testimony is the old school thing. Testimony is, get together, Hicks. Many of us remember the testimony section of worship, where someone would stand up and just talk about the goodness of God. So in this part, I'm challenging those of us who are listening, even myself, about the testimony of God in our life. Now, in Resurgence, we say, because we say it, we see it. Saying meaning that because we say the things of God, we expect to see the things of God. But your testimony is your personal your personal seeing it for somebody else. So not only do I need to share my testimony, but live out the testimony. Live out the testimony of God's goodness. Live out the testimony of what God has done. Live out the testimony of coming through a tough time. And you being you, you excelling, you coming through a trial is the billboard for somebody seeing you come through. So my overflow can happen, and it starts with a testimony. The challenging question is, when was the last time you shared with someone about how good God has been? I didn't say when was the last time you shared with someone about your accomplishments or what you've done, but when did you tie that into the fact that the power of God is intricately woven into everything that you're doing? The testimony of waking up in the morning, the testimony of having the ability of limbs, the testimony of having the right mind, all these things. When was the last time you shared it? The more I'm sharing my testimony, the more I am not just telling people, telling God that I love you by telling somebody else how good you are. And then later on in the text, Paul talks about some rough times he's going to endure. Paul gives notice in that Acts chapter 20 about going, about the Holy Spirit telling him that he's going to go from town to town, where the Holy Spirit is going to send him. And in the sending, he's going to deal with being jailed and going just through some rough moments. And what I jumped on in that point was, we love a testimony when the testimony is filled with the good times. We love a testimony when the even going through it or hearing the testimony, it's a great thing to hear about what God is doing, what God has done. But Paul is saying that, again, he says this: I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. So here's Paul is saying, listen, man, here's my testimony. Yes, God has been good. Yes, God changed my name. Yes, I've been in ministry with you, but I'm about to go here. God is still good, even though my testimony will be, I'm going to be jailed. It's going to be rough. And Paul's believing that post that moment, God is still going to bring him out on the other side. And in that moment, God is still going to be with him and blessing him. So we like testimonies that are great, but some testimonies have rough patches. And are you willing to share those testimonies with those that God decides you're supposed to share that testimony with? How do I know I'm able to get through unless I know that you made it through? How do I know that there's a bright side somewhere, or there's a light at the end of the tunnel and the light is not an oncoming train? How do I know that there's good times ahead unless I see somebody who's been through the rough to get to the good? The analogy I made on Sunday, it's what I'll share with you today before I move on, is this. Pastor Belen and I have both been through physical therapy for various injuries. And while you're in physical therapy, it is painful. It is stretching. Your muscles that have been damaged are being stretched and broken down so they can grow back stronger. While you're in it, in the grimness of the sweat and the pain and the stretching, the testimony is God is keeping you, but it's rough. It's difficult. Anybody who's been in physical therapy understands how hard it is. But we keep our eye on what happens posted. I remember Pastor Belinda, she tore her meniscus. And her testimony was, while she was going through it, I know it's hard, but I know I'm going to be better after this. I know it's hard, but I know I'm going to be able to have full mobility in my knee after this. I know it's difficult, but I know that post this, man, I can't wait to be able to walk without a cane, without a limp, without pain. And that's a testimony for somebody. Listen, in order for us to have the overflow of God, yes, share the testimony of the good things, but share the testimony of the trials. Because I'm also a billboard for God, that God can be glorified even when it's rough, even when it's hard, even when I gotta sweat through it, even when I gotta push through it, even when the crux of the moment is just a lot to bear. But I'm holding on to the simplistic fact that God is still in control and he will get me through this. That's a testimony. And the overflow in my life, the blessings on my life, the goodness of God don't only show up in the great times, but they show up in the in-between, in the storms and the rough seasons. So doing better starts with an overflow, starts with giving your testimony. Then doing better also starts with the warning. So we're still in Acts chapter 20. And in verse 28, Paul tells the people he's talking to the elders in the church of Ephesus. He says, guard yourselves, guard God's people. He says, the leaders you have been placed here by the Holy Spirit, you've been purchased through the sacrifice of Christ. Paul says, I know false teachers are coming after I leave to mess with you. He compares these false teachers to vicious wolves. Paul says, some young men in your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order for people to follow after him or them. Then Paul adds credibility to his argument, and Paul says, I was with you for 3 years, night and day. I'm committed to you because I've shared tears with you in this thing. Guard yourselves. Paul is giving us a warning. In order for us to fulfill or feel the overflow or access the overflow of God in our lives, there is going to be times where we will be warned. There will be times that we will have to execute a warning to someone else. Guard yourselves, Paul says. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. In other words, I need you to be aware of your surroundings, aware of the dangers, aware of where you are. And before I get to the warning, let me just stop right here. Paul first talks to the elders in Ephesus, and he says, don't be flippant, or don't mistake that the reason why you're here is because of the Holy Spirit. The reason why you're here is because of the sacrifice of Christ. The reason why you're here, or why you're experiencing an overflow of eating, meaning even meeting with me before I go do more ministry, is because of the love of God on your life. And what I want to get to my listeners here on Pastor X Podcast is this. Please don't take the love of God lightly. Please don't take the overflow of your experiencing that of God in your life lightly. Please don't take your blessings lightly. Guard, be aware of those things. Be aware of what you watch. Be aware of what you hear. Be aware of your prayer life. Be aware of your reading life. Be aware of every interaction, because you don't want to allow wolves in. You don't want to allow those in who are close to you who are going to mess it up. You don't want to mess it up yourself. The first person that can mess up the overflow is me. The first person that can mess up your overflow is you. So first thing, we got to be on our guard. We got to be on a guard. That's a warning from the Word of God. Be on your guard. Watch your front. Watch your rear. And then be on guard about those who are in your circle, because not just me, but those who are close to me. And if we're talking about warnings, a question that we want to ask ourselves is, can we give and can we receive warning? Are we able to let someone tell us, please hear me, that's been walking with us? Not coming along and tell us, and you haven't put in time with me to have the cachet to say, this is off, this is wrong. But those who've been walking with us, family members, friends who we know are invested, who have a different point of view, a God-infused point of view, and God has sent them on assignment to warn us, are you willing to heed a warning? Or are you so steady or bound by what you believe is right that you can't hear when someone else has been assigned by God to tell you this is a wrong way to go? And then, are you able to give a warning? Many of us who are listening today are those of us, I mean, listen, everybody likes to please people. Everybody likes to be liked. But sometimes when you give a warning, you become the villain in someone's story for a season. Because they didn't like that you said what you said. It was right, but they didn't like that it had to be said. They didn't like they had to be warned. The analogy I gave when we were at Resurgence this past weekend was the following. When we're watching football and we see a quarterback make calls, they're making calls prior to hiking the ball to deal with coverage so that they don't get sacked. Quarterbacks might make a call to switch up a play so that the running play goes away from the blitz. The defense is setting up to blitz. The defense is setting up to stop. The quarterback is ahead of the offense. They're setting up to be successful. You are the quarterback in the story. You're trying to set up things to be successful. If you tell the people on your team that we need to move a certain way, or switch such a certain way, or pick up the blitz coverage so that things work out, and they don't do it, that's a telling sign that that person can't be in close proximity to you. Because all they want to do is do their own thing, which will cause you to lose yards on the play of life. And I'm trying to get across to us in this short time we have together is this. It's okay to be called to warn in a season. It's okay for you to be the one to say, hey, I know we decided, but this is wrong. This is not God's will. It's not where we should be going. Listen, we already talked about the testimony. We already talked about God's goodness. I don't want to frustrate it. I'm supposed to guard it. I'm supposed to watch what's going on. And if I come off of that and I don't tell you that something's going on, or I don't heed that something's going on in me, I am going against the will of God. Overflow can't happen without discipline, and overflow can't happen without being warned. Yes, overflow, when overflow happens, there's turbulence. Some things are upset. Old things come out. New things are coming in. You can't hold on to the old stuff. All that stuff is great. We want it pressed down, shaken together, flowing over. But there is a place for being warned and being the warner. Are you willing to be in that place? Are you willing to sacrifice comfort for the stability of God in your life when someone says, wrong direction, turn around? And there's a blessing of somebody listening right now who is grateful that they were warned. I'm grateful that you warned me about the job decision. Grateful you warned me about the relationship. Grateful you warned me about the investment. Grateful you warned me about whatever. I am so glad that I listened sometimes in my life in seasons of warning. I was warned often, you can't stay here. The call of God is too heavy on your life. And you are staying here. I was warned about stress levels. If you don't just give this to God, you're going to be out of here before your time. My children warned us, myself and Pastor Belinda, just recently, we need more time with you. It seems like you're always working. It seems like you're putting church first. That's a warning. Parents, heed the warning of your children. Children, heed the warning of your parents. Loved ones, heed the warning. Friends, heed the warning. Co-workers, listen, if an enemy warned you, that could be a large sign from the Lord telling you, hey, because as much as our friends are invested, our enemies are invested in our downfall, they know, and they could be on assignment. We want the overflow to happen. Guard your intake. Guard your minds. Guard your hearts. Heed warnings. And don't be afraid to be the one who has to warn. And then finally, doing better ends with the word. Again, our text, Acts 20, verse 35, says the following. It says, all right, everybody give me a second. It says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of heart work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words, Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul doesn't end this discourse with his accolades. He ends this discourse with the word. He ends this discourse with the words of Christ. Now, if you study the Bible, it's not written that Jesus said it. And Paul was in ministry post the resurrection. So what I'm trying to argue for us on this podcast is that someone knew the sayings of Christ and passed it on to Paul. And Paul is passing these sayings of Christ on to others with this general notion and this centralized focus that it's more blessed to give than to receive. He's ending everything he's talking about before he boards a ship to go into ministry with the word. He doesn't end it on anything else. So on Sunday and today, what I'm trying to get across to us before I say goodbye on the podcast is we need the word in us. We need the word in us. We need the word of God embedded in our hearts. We need the word of God coming in our minds cognitively. We need to read it so much so that it comes out our mouth that in some conversations, you begin with the Bible says. With the right context for the right situation. In some conversations we end with, but the word says. When it comes to topics, various topics that we're dealing with in our country, in the world, in your personal life, the litmus test for your decision making should be, what does the word say? I want the overflow, but what does God say about me having it? I want the abundance, but what does God say about me having it? What does the word say about my finances? What does the word say about my relationships? What does the word say about my peace of mind? How do I get it? The word lets us know that peace that passes beyond all understanding can happen as your mind is focused on Christ. So not just my testimony, which is a personal account, not just a warning, which can be given through the humanity of someone who loves us enough to warn us, or the Holy Spirit giving us unction to be the warner. But finally, what are we gleaning from the word of God for ourselves to be able to impart to somebody else so that they can experience the overflow of God? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul is coming from the place of knowing everything that has been given to him, and not everything that he's more blessed to give to others. He's given ministry. He's giving his life. He's giving his time. He knows that his Savior has given his life. He knows that his Savior came down and wrapped on flesh and went to be crucified and went to be resurrected so that we have access to the Father. All these things in Paul's context of his ideology and theology of God speaks to, it's better for me to give than to get. And when we're talking about giving, we're talking about overflow in this season. We talk about even giving to resurgence. We know that we have a spending bucket, a savings bucket, and a giving bucket. God's economy is give first. Because once I give, God is able to give me more. And I can give more to others. Think about how you feel on certain holidays. When you were younger, it felt great to be the one to receive. The older I get, Resurgence, the more I would rather see the joy on my wife's face, on my son's face, on my daughter's face. It's indescribable. I hit a home run when I know that my wife is totally pleased with her gift on Christmas. When she sheds tears because of how beautiful the gift is. Or my children after Christmas are quiet because whatever we gave them, they're in their room playing with it just intensely. It's better to feel that feeling of, oh, thank you, Lord. I was able to be a blessing so much. It's so much better to give. Give a word. Give a hug. Give a prayer. Give some help. Give a surprise. Give some encouragement. Take nothing else away from this time together on the podcast today. Find someone to bless. If you want to have overflow flowing in your life, you want the abundance of God in your life, who am I blessing? Who am I blessing with my testimony? Who am I blessing with a warning? Who am I blessing with my giving? You can get so much more from giving than you can from getting. Getting is good. But if you understand the economy of God, giving is better. And the more that God can see, or the more God sees you giving, the more God is going to be open to the prospects of giving you more. So thank you for spending time with me today. Acts 20 verse 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Listen, leave me some comments. Let me know if this format works for you. And we can do both. We can do the preach word and we can do just me talking. But I enjoy getting back in this realm. Enjoy getting back in the space. Listen, we're coming to you next week from 2 Kings. It's a very powerful word. I'm working on it right now. I'm excited about preaching it on Sunday. I'm excited about a podcast on it next week. And don't forget, all October the 8th, Resurgence Rally. It'll be a year of us in the movie tavern. It'll be 10 years for myself and my family and ministry. We're excited to celebrate with you. If you're in the Philadelphia area, come on out. Movie Tavern, Flower Town, 9 o'clock a.m. We start on time. Our preacher will be my pastor, Reverend Dr. Alan E. Waller from the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church, the man who licensed me 10 years ago. And it's only appropriate that he'll be there. To preach to us what God has to say to us. So thank you guys. Look forward to talking to you and hearing from you soon. Take care. God bless. Don't forget we are Resurgence Church, where we get plugged into God, family, service, and destiny.